This is just because as bid'ah grows in the heart, it makes a hatred for the sunnah. And then related to that, of course, it makes it dangerous and hard for people to follow the sunnah. When people then, after bid'ah is spread and people start to accept it, when people start saying this is wrong, we should follow the way of the sunnah from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll be opposed. People will fight them, people will make it hard for them to do what is correct. And in the mosque will be set up, dhikr will be made, and things will be done, everything that goes against the sunnah. Things will be written, everything that goes against the sunnah, making it difficult. And they will put pressure on the one who's following the truth to change his ways. Imam al-Tabari, for example, one time, the famous mufassir, commentator on the Quran, also historian, muhaddith, and so on. Somehow he wrote the poem, don't remember the wording of it exactly, but he's saying basically that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting on the right side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the throne. Well, Imam al-Tabari, he wrote the poem in answer to that and he put it on his door. And he said that, I believe in Allah, the one upon whose throne there's no one sitting on the right side. And he put it on his door. What was the result? The people of the city came and pelted his house with stones. That's it. He was driven temporarily, alhamdulillah, driven out of the city. And that's what happens. When the bid'ah spreads, there becomes hatred for the sunnah, and it becomes very hard for those people who wish to follow the sunnah, And even, and related to that point is that even if they're sincere people who want to follow the sunnah, and if the people of bid'ah confuse them so much and mix the truth with falsehood and follow the mutashabihat of the Quran and so forth to such an extent that even those people who are sincere and want to follow the truth, they will not be able to follow the truth. They'll be so confused by the people of bid'ah and their arguments and so on that they'll end up following the way of bid'ah, even though in their hearts and inshallah in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them according to their intention. But they can be so confused by Ahlul Bid'ah that they won't even be able to see the truth anymore. And although they're sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be pulled into the trap following Bid'ah. And also an important point is that Bid'ah is a stepping stone to kufr. Bid'ah is a stepping stone to kufr. One of the early scholars, his name is, if I remember how to pronounce his name correctly, Al-Barbahari. Is that right? One of the companions of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He said, be aware of bid'ah. Because every bid'ah started out as something small and resembling the truth. And people were fooled by it and followed it. Until it became bigger and bigger and they were entrapped by it. And it took them out of Islam. And bid'ah many times began as something small. And which if it's not stopped, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah has a very nice passage in one of his books showing that in fact, the kufr of the Jews and Christians is because of bid'ah. And if they introduced new things into their religion and those things took them completely away from the message of Musa alayhi salam and from the message of Isa alayhi salam. Perhaps it's the clearest in the case of the Christians and all their beliefs about Son of God and so forth that they were Muslims, we say this is Ahlul Bid'ah. And this is extreme Ahlul Bid'ah that took them into kufr. So in fact, as Ibn Taymiyyah pointed out, as I said, the kufr of the Jews and Christians started with bid'ah. And it got to the point that it got. And finally, with respect to the ummah as a whole, bid'ah hurts the spreading of Islam and the da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it hurts it in many ways. We don't have time to discuss all the ways, but one of the ways, the clearest way, is that usually these groups of bid'ah, their strange ideas and their strange practices, these are used by the enemies of Islam to portray Islam as this is Islam. You know, how many times, for example, if you put on the TV and you watch you know, the so-called educational station. I guess there's no truth in advertising anymore. The educational station, usually, for example, many times when they talk about Islam, who will they show? They'll show Sufis making dhikr, the whirling dervish and so forth. They'll bring beliefs and say this is what Islam believes, when in fact these are what Ahl al-Bid'ah believe and have nothing to do with Islam. And they're almost setting these up as a straw man fallacy, that you can just set these things up and this is what Islam believes. And so therefore when people look at it, of course they will not be appealing to them. This is not what the fitrah is, the real Islam. And when they see this nonsense, and they will not be attracted to Islam. Perhaps even clear is the example here in the United States. How many times have you seen Farhan and his group presented as Islam? And they talk about their teachings as the teachings of Islam. You think anyone who's really looking for the truth is going to accept that stuff? And this is all part of the dangers and the damage that Ahl al-Bid'ah has brought about. Well, I don't think I have much time left, though. I have a half hour left, I don't think so. did your watch stop some time ago?
I don't know.
No, because we have many queries. So let me just quickly then, I will talk about, those were the dangers for the Ummah as a whole. Let me just quickly mention, and these are all based on hadith that we don't have time to make the complete takhrij for these hadith. But basically for the dangers for the individual, his bid'ah will be rejected. His bid'ah and therefore him will be in the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a barrier between him and tawbah and repentance. Him and his supporters are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal malaika. In the hereafter they will be turned away from the cistern or the fountain of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'll be turned away from that. Their deeds will be rejected as long as they commit that bid'ah. They are people who in this dunya think that they're doing good, and in the hereafter they'll find that there's no benefit to what they're doing, and such they are, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them, the greatest losers. Well, also they will bear the burden of their bid'ah and their sin, as well as the burden of anyone who follows them in their bid'ah. Now with respect to the remedy, what are some of the things that can be done? I think the first point, especially what I've seen here in the United States, the first point is that we who call ourselves Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, we who claim to be following Al-Quran wa-Sunnah, we first of all have to realize the danger of bid'ah and how it is an obligation upon us to hate and oppose bid'ah. One of the strangest things that you'll see in this country, and probably you'll see it in other countries, but I'm talking from my experience, is that if some brothers, for example, in a mosque, see some, for example, Ahl al-Bid'ah, some people belonging to certain bid'ah, and they are performing and they are spreading their bid'ah in their mosque, and they say, we should do something to stop these people. Usually the first people who come to the defense of Ahl al-Bid'ah are those people who claim to be from Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. They'll defend them, they say, no, they are brother Muslims, they should have freedom to do what they want, we cannot impose, and such and such and such and such. And it is not from Islam at all. If they're doing something clearly that goes against the Quran wa Sunnah, there's no such thing as hurriya or freedom that they can come to the mosque and do whatever they want. But this is all because we are lacking in our understanding of bid'ah and what bid'ah really is. That we'd actually defend bid'ah in the name of freedom or in the name of whatever. And this, as I said, this is one of the biggest diseases I've seen, that those people who claim to be from Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they are usually, or sometimes they are the first people to defend bid'ah and to defend the people's right to commit bid'ah. So we ourselves, who claim to be from Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the first point is we ourselves have to realize what bid'ah is exactly and what is our obligation towards bid'ah. Well, secondly, we have to make al-amad bil ma'roof wa-nahy an al-munkar, ordering good and eradicating what is evil. And that we, if we see a munkar, and bid'ah is a kind of munkar. Bid'ah is a kind of munkar. Doesn't matter if it's been established since the time of Imam Ja'far, or Imam Zayd, or whatever you want to say. As long as the bid'ah goes against the Quran and Sunnah, it is a munkar. And the Prophet ﷺ has clearly told us that if we see a munkar, and we have the ability to change it with our hands, then we must do so. Otherwise, with our tongues, if we have the ability, otherwise, we must hate it in our heart, and that is the least. That is the least of iman. So we have to take the step, we have to realize that it is an obligation upon us to order what is good and eradicate what it is evil, and to take the steps to remove that evil. And of course that depends a lot on the situation that we're in. If we're the leader of a mosque and we have control over a mosque, then it's our obligation to make sure that the people of bid'ah are not given a platform to speak. They're not allowed to spread their bid'ah in the mosque or so. If we write a lot, if we translate a lot, we have to do our best also in our writings. If we have the ability to change the munkar through our hands, through our writings, or through our tongue, through our writings, we should then change it, and so on. And even it gets to the point, as the scholars discuss, that it is even, in some cases, an obligation or a step to make hijrah from those people who make bid'ah. And to boycott them, to avoid them, not even to make salam to them. That is one of the steps that is to be taken with respect to Ahl al-Bid'ah or the people of Bid'ah, depending of course on the situation. You don't want to find someone who's making Bid'ah and drive him, for example, here in the United States, you boycott him so he goes to hang out with the Kuffar or something like that. Take some wisdom, and you have to realize the situation completely. And finally, we must educate ourselves to understand what is the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how important it is for us to follow the correct teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, and to learn what is in fact bid'ah, what isn't bid'ah, and to do, inshallah, what is not bid'ah. Finally, the bid'ah is not something that we can ignore. It is not something theoretical. It's something that we see all around us, and it is our obligation, inshallah, to do our best to strive against it. And this is part of our duty to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, who says in the Quran, "Wajahidu fi Allahi haqqa jihad," to strive in the way of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala as His right. وَأَقُولُ قُلْ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ